Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for today is the John 8 text, the gospel. I will not reread it, dear friends in Christ. In one of the earliest writings of Martin Luther during the time of the Reformation on the freedom of a Christian man, Luther writes, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all and subject to none." Next sentence, "A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant and subject to all." In this, Luther strives to describe the dichotomy of the Christian life. In fact, the Reformation is about a simple question: what does it mean for man to be free? Our flesh, you see, views freedom with personal choice. We want to mix it up that way. A person is free who has the right and power to choose as he or she wills. We often hear of freedom of choice, whether that choice be the murdering of a baby in the womb or a living arrangements, it's all the same. I have the right to my choice, and you have to accept it, or you are phobic and oppressive. Over such freedom arises from the idea that man is free by way of detachment from persons and things. Such freedom arises from the idea that the person is independent and autonomous, and our own flesh cries out, "Amen, isn't this wonderful news?" The life that is based on feelings. And as you know, the great hymn writer on that one, right? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Despite the fact that our feelings are so fickle, that they are like having a little gas on your tummy. Give it time and it'll pass. It may make a stink, but it'll pass. I saw the perfect modern tattoo on a waitress this year at the district convention. We were eating at the restaurant across from the Highland House, across from the Concordia campus. And the waitress that was serving us, I always like asking them about their tattoos. And she had tattooed on her arm, "Never let a temporary decision lead to a permanent choice." She said, "Yes, I understand the irony of that." What a perfect tattoo. The Bible rather reveals man is entrapped, dead in sin, and destined to death on his own. For the Bible knows no such freedom of man apart from everything else. Man can live only if he is freed from this slavery to sin and is reborn to the servanthood of love in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If our feelings-guided flesh has its own way with us, our text today will sound just as foreign as it did to the ears of the Pharisees and those Jews who were following Jesus at this time. We've never been a slave to anyone. Really? I guess they forgot about that whole time in Egypt. That whole time with the Babylonians. And all the other times that they were enslaved by other nations. But you see, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And we have the freedom of speech, well, kind of. Right? How many of you bit your tongue around friends or even around your pastor when you wanted to say something but you just didn't have the heart or weren't willing to face the consequences? We have the freedom to practice the religion of our choosing if we aren't too vocal about it or reject culturally approved norms and actions. Our culture has given us freedoms for our wants, We have abortion as long as the child is not wanted or inconvenient. We have the freedom to kill ourselves. If life isn't what we wanted it to be, we call it death with dignity. We have the socially approved ability to move in with and play house apart from marriage. Freedom to get a divorce when I don't feel fulfilled. We've even granted ourselves the freedom to marry those of the same sex or to redefine our sex or species based upon our feelings. I asked the confirmands in the apologetics class I'm teaching. I just have one question. When a young man comes up and says he feels like a girl, I say, how do you know? Because what's the one thing he had never felt? Being a girl. No matter what he puts on, no matter what surgeries he has, no matter anything else, what he has not felt is what a female feels like. He's felt the stereotypes. He's felt what he thinks they feel like. But he can't feel what they feel like because he's not a female. And the same holds true for the opposite. But now we've got children who are identifying as cats. A local school is even providing a kitty litter box for the student. Meow, meow. I wonder how many tomcats are in the school as well. And while our feelings have led us to insanity at best, we have granted certain groups the right to steal, to assault, and even murder if they feel they or their ancestors are minimalized in the past or that we have said mean words to them. This is what we hear when we hear Jesus say, I do not give you peace as the world gives you peace. Because this is all the world can offer you. Yet this felt freedom is in reality slavery. And it is the worst kind of slavery. As Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. This bond of slavery cannot be broken by our good intentions. This bond of slavery can only be broken by our death. And we either die with our sins on us, which we know leads to eternal damnation in hell, or we die to sin as we are joined to Jesus the Christ, who died bearing our sins, rising on the third day to give all his servants the freedom of life eternal. Only in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is true freedom and therefore true reformation. We saw the same thing. I know it's a Reformation Sunday. I have to talk about 1517, right? Only the license to sin was being printed. You could prepay for your sins. You could go and buy a plenary indulgence. And they were being marketed by Tetzel, the pretzel-twisting man. I mean, the priest. As you could do anything you wanted and still go to heaven if you bought this piece of paper to pay for St. Peter's Basilica, the Basilica of Peter and Paul. That's how corrupt the church had become, because they had forgotten, well, one simple thing. The Word of God. It's really that simple. You see that repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. You see that repeatedly in the New Testament. You see that repeatedly throughout history. When the church forgets the Word of God, insanity happens. Even though the Scriptures plainly tell us that our sins are not forgiven by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, people can be convinced, when they're biblically illiterate, that your cash can buy you something in heaven. And it can't. The grace of God is not for sale. As every Lutheran knows, the beginning of the Reformation, which occurred in 1517, October 31st, as a 34-year-old Augustinian monk walked up to the castle church door at Wittenberg and posted his 95 theses for discussion that were published in Latin because he wasn't trying to cause social outrage. And yet, because of that crazy Gutenberg invention called the movable type, and people who could learn Latin that translated it into all kinds of languages in Europe, Luther becomes famous. He just wanted to ask the question, what does it mean? What does it mean when the teachings of the church don't agree with the teachings of Scripture? He wanted to know, what does it mean if the papal office had the authority to spring souls from purgatory for copper and silver and gold? Why wouldn't they just, out of the goodness of their heart, let everybody out of suffering? He wanted to know, what does it mean if a piece of paper with a seal could be purchased to forgive you of your sins, could take away the temporal and eternal punishment of your sins, and it completely rejects the Word of God? What does that have to do with Jesus at all? You see, the sad truth is that many who claim to have been birthed from the Reformation don't even bother to ask that simple question, what does it mean? This simple question doesn't, as this question aids the Christian in abiding in Jesus' Word. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the Church of Christ is to be about freeing people from their guilt and their sin, not by justifying their sins, as the churches of the world seem to want to do today, but by proclaiming the good news that sinners like us, who confessed we were sinners today, and who will throughout the rest of the day prove it repeatedly, are justified by the grace of God through faith in Jesus' life, suffering, death, and resurrection. Lest we Christians fall back into the false thinking of the Pharisees and the world, believing that our ancestral connections will save us somehow, for that is simply spiritual death. And while it is true that the Roman Catholic Church were wrongly making works meritorious of grace, at least they could say they had a reason. Jerome had mistranslated the word metanoia from the Greek in his Vulgate translation of the Bible and translated it penitentiana, to mean to do penance, when the word metanoia means to repent. They had an excuse. It's not there anymore. Yet the Reformation was, is, and must always be about Jesus and the gospel of the good news that Jesus the Christ has taken away the sins of the world in his death and resurrection, not that we Lutherans got it right and everybody else got it wrong. For it is for his sake alone, through faith in Jesus alone, that otherwise poor damn sinners like you and me can stand justified. And oh, I love that word. How God makes us just as if we had never, just as if we had never sinned. So the hammer blows on the church door at Wittenberg only have meaning and purpose because of the hammer blows on a cross on a hill called Golgotha. There the Lord bears all sin for all sinners. This truth sets you free. This teaching makes disciples of Jesus. Keeping our focus on Jesus' word, that the Christian abide in, for apart from Jesus and his word, we can do absolutely nothing. This is what the solas of the Reformation teach. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. And later, those who birthed out of the Reformation after the Lutherans added sola Dei gloria, to glory be to God alone, and sola Christus, Christ alone. The life-giving, sin-freeing gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed to us in the Scriptures alone. This word of God frees us. This principle of Scripture alone is foreign to the natural man because the natural man is unwilling to submit to anything, especially words written thousands of years ago that surely have been messed up over time. Yet this is the word that spoke all things into being, as we heard the choir sing so beautifully. This word declares us redeemed. This living and active word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Scripture alone is able to make man wise unto salvation. But Scripture is never alone. For where the Word of God is, there the Holy Spirit is working to create faith, restore faith, and strengthen faith as it joins us to Jesus. This brings us to faith alone. It clings to the Scriptures. It clings to Christ. For this gift of salvation is proclaimed in the Word, but can only be believed by faith, and that faith given by God. We who are slaves to the death of sin are set free, emancipated. You are forgiven. You are freed by the grace through faith, and this faith is a gift that God that changes us from slaves to sin to sons of God. This faith relies on God for all things, for this life and for the next. This faith does not come by its own reason or strength, but by the working of the Holy Spirit through the means. God's Word, the primary means of grace, and baptism as the water is joined to the Word and promises of God, and the Lord's Supper as in with and under the bread and wine is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, as He promises when He says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." God's Word and His Word is given for us, which joins us to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The entire gift God gives to us is by grace alone. By God's grace, you are freed from religious algebra. It was interesting. I was talking with a retired school teacher yesterday and principal and superintendent. And he said when he was in the military, he was teaching men math. And the first time he did it, he said, "All right, now we're moving into algebra." And their minds just clicked off. The next year, he didn't tell them they were doing algebra. They're just doing more math. And they all did great. And he continued doing that throughout the years he was teaching. And the army started checking to see if he was taking the test for them or if he was cheating because they were doing so well. And the only thing he did is took away the word algebra so they weren't frustrated. Because it's intimidating to some people. But that's the problem. We want to do religious algebra. Christ plus something. Christ plus my love or my obedience or my piety or my prayers or my devotion or my decisions. Christ plus whatever it is, you plug it in yourself. And what you get is no Jesus. Jesus plus anything is not Jesus. The doctrine of justification doesn't bring us to the starting line. It rather brings us with Christ when He says to Tetelestai, "It is finished." This is truly what the Reformation is still about, our freedom in Christ Jesus, who alone has rescued us from the bondage of sin and sinful reason, so that the clear gospel message may continue to be proclaimed to redeem sinners like you and me. As St. Paul said in our epistle, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by the blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Jesus, not Luther, brings true reformation to a world. The kind of reformation that changes lives now and gives us certainty of life in an eternal. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.